Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, we can't say with all the voices he does that Tim Schwartz is a clone. We can't say he's from the multiverse. But I think, wouldn't it be easier to find somebody from the multiverse rather than find some random guy in the street to become the new Paul McCartney?
Sure. You'd want to get to that. That would be an explanation, too. You know, they claim that we're all of us are in these different universes. So, yeah, you'd get a McCartney. But then you run the risk of, you know, he's going to be completely different. He might be an evil McCartney or whatever. But so maybe that's why they opted to do this.
Well, I mean, remember also he became more bossy. So his personality asserted itself, negative parts of his personality. And the thing, too, is that if he was the comparable person in another dimension, you'd be able to take his DNA and it'd be the same, wouldn't it?
Right. That's true. And so, but I don't know why nobody has tried to, has made the suggestion about the DNA, because, I mean, he's got his brother alive. So I suggest they should do that. But, you know, that, they blocked out on a lot of things, you know. They don't seem to want to just unreal historical mysteries. So something like this, I don't know why they would cover it up. Because, again, I don't see any – because the Paul McCartney, we talked about Mark Lane earlier. This is a crossover to JFK assassination. When the first time I met Mark Lane, he was getting a phone call. He got a phone call. I was stuffing envelopes at his office, and he got a friend call from Hollywood from Freddie Prinze, and I talked all about this in history. If I had not been at his office that day, Freddie Prinze at that time was the most popular young comedian in America, starring on Chico and the Man. And, you know, if I had been there that day, I would not have been able to connect his death a month later. He killed himself a month later, supposedly, to the Kennedy assassination. But Mark Lane said, Freddie Prinze has been calling me constantly. He's obsessed with the JFK assassination. He wants to put a telethon out there. I was sitting there big-eyed saying, wow, really, that's really cool. And then he dies the next month later. But Lane also told us that, and I hadn't read his Citizen's Dissent, his second book yet, where he talks about it. But apparently the Beatles, John Lennon I know was, but McCartney was really interested in the JFK assassination. In fact, he wrote music for Mark Lane's film, A Rush to Judgment. And they ended up not using it. But McCartney, and I don't know what happened to McCarthy's interest in it. I could find no statements on the record when Oliver Stone's movie came out in 91, but apparently that would have been, I think, the real McCartney at that point. So did Billy Shears not have any interest in it? Because, why? I always found that strange, knowing that McCartney was really interested enough to write a soundtrack to a film and to talk to Mark Lane on the phone to look him up. Why wouldn't he have been interested in talking to Oliver Stone or giving his impressions of that film? But I haven't been able to find his impressions of JFK if they're out there on the record.
If you talk to Oliver Stone today, what does he say about that?
Well, I'm friends with his son. John Stone is a very nice guy. I've been on his show. He's been on my show. But getting to Oliver is really hard. Oliver, just like Richard Belzer, has the same publisher I have, primary publisher. And he has my books because they send all the books out to these big guys and hope they can get a blurb. He's never written a blurb for me. A lot of people have, but he hasn't. He knows who I am, but he's hard to get a hold of, and I would love to ask him that. I don't know if he'd answer. He might not know that McCartney was – maybe that's why he didn't look him up. McCartney didn't look him up, but certainly, you know, it's an interesting thing that McCartney – because McCartney, again, wasn't political like John Lennon was. So I wouldn't have been surprised at all if it was Lennon. And Paul Krasner did tell me that Lennon was very interested in the JFK assassination. But for whatever reason, McCartney's the one that contacted Mark Lane.
I just find it odd that after all these years, the remaining Beatles, you know, there's just two of them, just continue to dance around the subject.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, it's just like, why not just say, oh, yeah, you know, we were just having fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, you know, early on, you know, even, you know, into maybe the, you know, early 80s, I could see why maybe they'd want, still want to maybe, you know, oh, no, we weren't doing anything like that. But now, you know, what difference does it make?
Exactly. Well, that's what I said before. I don't think it's a crime. I don't think they could charge him with any kind of crime.
No, no.
So yeah, why would they? Yeah, you're right. It's something that if we had contact with the Beatles, we would ask them. But I think that, again, they would just – but it's that world. I talked about the CIA's memos, the conspiracy theories. They can easily demonize somebody. And unfortunately, the Paul is dead people are lumped into the JFK assassination. You know, the people, it's, they're all lumped in together. So it's Elvis is alive or whatever. Anything, and that's the way to shut down any kind of questioning, even if it might be, you know, insignificant, you know, in comparatively speaking to some of the other things we're talking about. But you're right. I mean, that's, that I don't understand that reaction. And of course, one of the other clues that I talked about in the book, because I mean, I tried to present the other side too in the introduction I wrote, and the closing thing too as well. But McCartney's second wife, Heather Mills, who was quite a firecracker in many ways, and took a lot of money from him, but he somehow, whether it was Paul or Fall, very unwisely didn't have a prenup agreement. But she left some very interesting quotes out on the record. I have them in the book where she alludes to something like that, where she's basically saying she's holding a deep, dark secret. She knows something. And she's kind of throwing it out there. Like, hey, I covered this up for him. And a lot of people, especially that believe Paul is dead, they're thinking, well, I mean, she certainly can take it that way. Now, it could be something else, but if it's something else, what other thing does McCartney have, you know, big skeleton in his closet or something? I don't know, but that's what most people think she must have been talking about. So I would like to talk to her about it, but she's, I don't know. I'm not sure I trust her about anything, but those comments are what they are, but they're in the book.
Well, that's what makes me think that if the whole Paul is dead thing wasn't actually what was going on, that this real thing, whatever it is that they're covering up, is completely different and completely earth-shaking, earth-shattering, you know, whatever. And, you know, whatever that could be, you know, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, we can only speculate about what it could be. I mean, McCartney is probably, of all the Beatles, has led the cleanest life, I would think, kind of. I mean, he had the arrest for marijuana in Japan, and he had that, you know, disastrous second marriage with Heather Mills. That was just him making a, you know, an unwise move that a lot of rich older guys have made, I guess, with young girls. And, you know, Ringo, I guess, has been pretty, but Ringo had a big drinking problem for a while, too. So it would be kind of out of character. I don't know. Would, you know, Paul was married relatively young age to Linda, and, you know, it's out there in the record. Supposedly they never spent a night apart in all their years of marriage, which I don't think you can say that about most married couples. So he was incredibly devoted to her. I guess he sowed enough wild oats for all of us, you know, when he was a Beatle, and maybe he didn't need that anymore, but he seemed to honestly love her. And so I don't know. I can't find too much scandalous behavior out there about him unless we just didn't know him. But so I don't know what else you can logically think she was, but she may have just been trolling too, throwing that out there to say, yeah, here's something for you guys, you know.
Yes, the question I have here, which is kind of raised, is he became quite controlling in what we would call the second half of the Beatle career in 1966 and beyond. And he just didn't seem to be one of the guys before them. And we could say, well, because John Lennon kind of ceded that territory.
Yeah.
Getting involved in drugs and not being quite as interested in pursuing the music, although he came out with a number of brilliant songs. So that's the line of demarcation, where McCartney becomes more dominant, where his fellow Beatles find themselves having disputes with him, more so, I guess, George Harrison. George Harrison was like his little brother, and then later on wouldn't want to play with him. Even when they got together back in the 90s to re-record this old John Lennon tune on a cassette, I don't think they got together quite as well as before. We've got more to come. with Tim, Don, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Tim Swartz from another dimension. There are many Tim Swartz out there. Which one is
billions,
this?
Billions and billions.
You have to emphasize it. Billions. You know, interesting thing about Carl Sagan, Don. Supposedly, in private, he really accepted UFO reality.
Yeah.
But publicly he didn't because it would impact his career.
Yeah, I only saw what he did publicly, and that's why I never. I know a lot of people liked him. I'm sorry, I had no interest in his books because he was denying a phenomenon that clearly had happened to, you know, thousands if not millions of people around the world, and I couldn't respect Johnny Carson. You know, Johnny Carson also again cross over to JFK assassination. You know, he treated Jim Garrison like he treated no other guest in the history of Tonight Show when he came on the show. I mean, it was outrageous. You know, tried to grab the photos of the tramps from him, and you can see the scene in the uncut JFK, Oliver Stone's JFK. It's great to show exactly what was going on. But Johnny just laughed along with Carl Sagan, you know, and just said, "Yeah, let's make fun of the Brazilian farmer." So he, as a teenager, that really incensed me when he would go on there because again, he had platform and. People like John Keel, or people like, who John Keel did later, I'm sure you know, David Letterman must have been a fan because David Letterman had him on a show once, which I was shocked. I said, wow, he knows about John Keel? Besides that, generally speaking, people like that didn't have those kind of platforms.
John Keel was known mostly for the Mothman Prophecies movie.
Yes.
He made more money from that than anything else he did. Enough money to buy a new car, not like a fancy car, maybe a Toyota or something. And he used up the money before he died because it wasn't a lot. It wasn't an endless amount of money. But still, that's an interesting story. You know, of course, let me drop in the other crazy theory with the Paul is dead thing. It really was John. The time that John changed and became less of a leader in the Beatles,
he's
the clone. He was the clone. Unfortunately, he was knocked off. Okay, I'm just making this up, folks. He was knocked off because the truth would be revealed otherwise.
Well, if you look at pictures, and that's why, you know, you get people that analyze pictures, certainly they do that in the JFK assassination quite a bit. And I always usually shy away from that because unless the picture is really crystal clear, none of these pictures are. You see in shadows and, you know, you see what you want to see. It's like a Rorschach test or something. But in the case of Lennon, if you look at, I think he changed the most physically of any of the Beatles. I think, you know, he looked a lot different. I mean, McCartney's looks have stayed very similar to me, remarkably, even though he changed to fall. In fact, I think you could argue that McCartney's looks changed the least. Oh, Ringo maybe, but Ringo actually kind of looked better as he got older, but McCartney looks the same, I think.
And the thing about Lennon also is when you listen to his later music, his voice was not as rich. It seemed thinner. Now, it could be just the wear and tear on his vocal cords. Who knows?
Sure. And Lennon was, you know, again, it's all opinion. Obviously, it's opinion. But I think that Lennon, I used to write songs when I was young, too. I was trying to write everything and try to be a half-ass Bob Dylan or whatever, writing protest songs. But that's the first thing I tried to do. But I always thought Lennon, like, if I could ever sell my songs to people, if I could have anybody sing my song, it would be John. I think John Lennon had the greatest voice I've ever heard. And especially in the early Beatles, if you look at, if you listen to Twist and Shout, and I've had Jude Kessler, who wrote the foreword to our book, Bob and I's book, From Strawberry Fields to Abbey Roads, Billy Shear's story. Jude is probably the foremost John Lennon expert in the world. And her and I get along really well because both of us badmouth McCartney and love Lennon. And but she talked about, I did a show I used to have an old entertainment show, the Don and Ella show, where we used to talk to entertainers, people from the entertainment world like that. And she went over, and only Beatles fans wanted to do it. We had a two-part show, two parts analyzing the first Beatles album, every track. And she went into like everything, what they were drinking and eating and everything that was said. And Lennon's vocal on Twist and Shout, I think it may be the greatest vocal in the history of rock music because it's the only example I know of. Actually, well, Please, Mr. Postman as well, where both times the Beatles remade black songs. And most of the time, the remakes of black songs end up like Pat Boone. You know, it's just, they're not good. But the Twist and Shout version Lennon had just destroyed the Isley Brothers, whoever the original version was. And same thing with Please, Mr. Postman. The Marvelettes did a good job, but he had and according to Jude, he had such a bad sore throat that he was spitting up blood when he sang Twist and Shout, which made it even worse because of the, but I mean, remarkable job on that. Lennon could do, and if you read something like This Boy, the middle of This Boy, where the stuff he did with his song, his voice, I never heard anybody else do that. So I love the guy, but you're right. By the time he was a solo, he was doing something completely different. His voice, I mean, he was the same guy, but it wasn't, he wasn't, I guess, attempting to stretch it as much as he had. But you can tell I'm a Lennon fan.
So, well, there were a number of songs, yes, that he did that were interesting. But also, I gathered, with Lennon, he didn't like the sound of his voice. And he was always asking people in the studio to double his voice, to do silly things with it.
Yeah. Lennon was weird. Lennon was, you know, like a lot of people, I guess a lot of us are that way. We're not the best judge of our own work. And Lennon was an awful judge of his own work. You know, he didn't understand, and I said all the time, is that, you know, Paul is considered the pop smith. But Lennon, again, was the main guy, main songwriter for those early songs, which were very poppy, kind of unique. You know, they created the British Invasion sound, the jangling guitars. They made Stratocaster, you know, a name in the industry. But Lennon rejected that. He didn't like most of those songs. He hated that sound. He hated the Beatles. And even later, in some of his songs, like one of his songs in the middle period that I love, And Your Bird Can Sing, I think it's a great song. Underrated song. Lennon hated it. He said that's a throwaway song. Like he didn't, and he did that with a lot of his music. And I don't know why that was for sure. Where you can listen to McCartney. McCartney, of course, has a bigger ego, way bigger ego, and so he doesn't diss too many of his own songs. But Lennon would do that, and he would just he had a critical, and I can appreciate that. I'm a real critical person, but like Lennon, I can turn my critical eye on myself. Lennon could do that. And I don't think McCartney could, but Lennon could. Like, yeah, that was stupid. It was, you know, I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote that, but you're right. He didn't have. I don't really know if he. To me, you know, something like "She Loves You, Please Please Me" or something like that, which was their first hit. I think that holds up way better than "Come Together." You know, for me, but I'm sure he loves "Come Together" a lot more.
He didn't love the money he had to pay to Chuck Berry.
Exactly, and he pretty much stole that, so he shouldn't have loved it, but that was the music he was going to. He was trying to sound heavy, and I don't know. I guess I just didn't like that music as much anyhow, but the guy, just an iconic voice like that, and was perfect for those pop melodies, which he had a real, obviously, knack for writing, and he, for whatever reason, he just turned his back on it.
We got more to come. Our guest is Don Jeffries, Tim Swartz, Gene Steinberg. More about conspiracies, but back to Beatles conspiracies right now. There's an endless number of conspiracies. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
News update.
I'm looking forward to this campaign. I want you to know why. Because you've got a story to tell. We've got a story to tell. We've got a record to run on.
President Biden in Philadelphia for his first major 2024 campaign event hosted by union members.
He said he's proud to be the most pro-union president in American history and that he's looking forward to running for re-election. Pennsylvania is once again seen as a key swing state in the upcoming election after being won by Biden by 1 point in 2020. I'm Chris Caraggio.
Turning now to sports, Brittany Griner back in the news. Here's USA's Jerry Barmash.
The Phoenix Mercury and Brittany Griner will be allowed to take charter flights for the rest of the
season. She was harassed last week while waiting for a flight at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. The six-time All-WNBA player spent 10 months in a Russian prison in 2022 on drug-related charges before being released in a prisoner exchange last December.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Back in the mid to late 70s, Lennon was doing a guest DJ spot for one of the FM progressive rock radio stations in New York. And he was really good at it. Kind of sad that he didn't do it again. And he tells the story of this rock and roll music album he did where he does all the old rock songs.
Yeah.
And the producer was Phil Spector. And he said, to paraphrase, he didn't realize that Spector was a pretty crazy person, as we learned later.
Yeah.
And he became very paranoid, Spector, about the tapes. And Lennon had to go through this whole process to get the master recording tape so he could release the album.
Yeah, that's been really interesting. Because Spector's another guy. I mean, God, I just love the guy. For the record, I think it's questionable whether he killed that woman. And the fact he was actually convicted, that doesn't happen very often to celebrities. I'm not sure what happened there. But just kind of going off thing. But, I love the Wall of Sound and all that. And Lennon and Spector should have been a match made in heaven, but sometimes it works. They tried it with the Ramones too. By the way, we have a couple people connected to the Ramones in the book. We have Vera Ramone, who's a widow of Dee Dee Ramone, and we have Dee Dee Ramone's brother as well. So lots of interesting people offering their perspectives on this.
Spector, of course, was an influencer of a lot of producers. Brian Wilson was very influenced by it. Sonny Bono was very influenced by Phil Spector. Richard Perry, if you remember, Richard Perry did some songs with Carly Simon.
Yeah, I mean, Spector was, unfortunately, that's the way it is. And again, writing on Borrowed Fame, I really studied celebrities, talked to a bunch of them. Again, these are people that were big at one time. But, the subject of fame fascinates me because, I've called fame, I've just come up with a working definition of fame. It's just, you're famous if any appreciable amount of people know who you are that you don't know. If you have some kind of, if people that you have no connection to have knowledge of you, you're famous in a way. So all of us have our own degrees of fame. There are lots of people that know who we are. But to be in that rarefied air, something like that, it's It's got to, and I think that's why when they if they lose their 15 minutes of fame, and that may be the ultimate irony that a guy like Andy Warhol, who is the perfect example of somebody being famous for really nothing, we don't know what he's famous for, but he said the 15 minutes of fame thing, and boy, that is just that has been true. But the people that I talked to for that book that were in groups like the Trogs and the Buckinghams and sold lots of records, you know, back in the day, or Foundations. People that were on TV shows that were Petticoat Junction, you know, they're back in the day, you know, they're obviously 60 years later now, people like me who are, you know, I'm immersed in that kind of pop culture for some reason. I can't get it out of my head and it's just a part of me. Yeah, but most people have forgotten them. I mean, one of my best friends in life has become John Barber, who was 90 years old. I just talked to him before the show. I said, I had to get off for the interview. He was the producer and co-host of Real People, which was the number one show on television for like 1979, 1981. A lot of people have forgotten the show, let alone him. And he came into my world because he was a JFK assassination guy. He was the only person that Jim Garrison gave an interview to after the Clay Shaw trial. So he fascinates me, and we just hit it off. And but it's the ultimate example. This guy was Frank Sinatra's writer for a while and stuff, and when he wrote his memoir, Your Mother's Not a Virgin, which he asked me to write the foreword to. And, you know, I was shocked. And but that's what happens. You can be a big shot in Hollywood, and then, you know, you're consorting with the likes of me, you know, decades later. So fame is a strange thing. And I really enjoyed writing that book because of that. So, of course, I'm drawn to things like this as well, because I think the Beatles, personally, you talk about fame, I think that John, Paul, George, and Ringo are the most famous people of all time. I don't think anybody's ever been more famous than the Beatles. You may disagree, but that's my view.
You know what I notice here, of course, is in terms of lots of groups, they become brand names, and the originators of the band are no longer there. But if you look, for example, at the personnel making up the Temptations.
Right.
Okay. Now, the Temptations still perform. Yep. But except for Otis Williams, I don't think any of the other members are still there. You look at David Ruffin, who sang the lead for My Girl, and Eddie Kendricks, and all these other people. I'm looking at the list at Wikipedia, and it's like 25 people were members of the Temptations. But the original quartet, you know, they're long gone one way or the other. It's just Otis Williams.
And you find that, and certainly the Beatles, you know, obviously they stayed, if you believe Paul stayed alive, but somebody, but, you know, John, Paul, George, and Ringo was the Beatles. I don't know that you could have had, and maybe that's what the idea was, to replace them. We can't have a replacement era. But you know, the Rolling Stones, I mean, until Charlie Watts died last year, I think, they were all still alive, except for Brian Jones, who I think was murdered, but, the rest of those guys, it's remarkable. They're still touring. You talk about it, remarkable, but when you look at the bands, and again, I talked to a lot of these people in these bands, a lot of them were the last surviving members of whatever group it was. You know, a bunch of the Cowsills are dead. Three of the Monkees are dead. You know, but almost all the Rolling Stones are alive. Very unusual. Most of those bands, and the black groups especially, I think it was easier to replace them because, especially like the backup singers, they were kind of dancing around. They weren't playing instruments, so you know, there's been the joke for a long time, the Coasters and the Platters and groups like that, they've come up with many fakes that were caught impersonating them, because most of the public don't know who they were, and they're certainly not going to maybe know what they look like, you know, 50 years, 60 years after they were famous.
Well, certainly it's taking the name of the group and becoming a brand name. Another group, funny, never changed personnel, was the Monkees. And the Monkees is such an interesting story because every one of them was actually talented in terms of singing, and they all could play instruments, but maybe not the ones they played on TV.
Right.
So, for example, there's this scene in, they do the video for Pleasant Valley Sunday, and Davy Jones is playing bass on that. In real life, he could play bass. Mm-hmm. And drums, as a matter of fact. Mickey Dolenz played the drums with the band, but that was a creative decision because he actually played guitar. And the instruments Mike Nesmith and Peter Tork played were what they played naturally. But we didn't know then the secret about a lot of these rock stars of the 60s is they would do the vocals. But even if they had a working band, they could play instruments. In the studio, it was the Wrecking Crew.
Wrecking Crew, right? I wrote a lot about that in the book, too. And a lot of those people resented it. Gary Lewis was... I loved Gary Lewis and the Playboys in his time, but I have some quotes from him in the book. You know, he really resented it. Hey, we were all musicians. We could play the songs. And but, you know, they trotted Glenn Campbell out there and people like that, and they just... the female bassist, was it Sandra Kay or something? I can't remember. That was
Carol Kay.
Yeah,
by the way, Carol Kay has instructional videos online. She's still around in her 80s. Instructional mm-hmm. videos online if you want to learn how to play bass like she does. You want to learn how to play that chord for "These Boots Are Made for Walking."
Yeah.
Right. All these, and you see her do it. You see where she takes a normal bass line. And she plays around with it, and it's magic. And that makes the song. These various instruments, all the effects they create. Brian Wilson had, of course, a working band,
yep.
the Beach Boys, but when they went into the studio...
Yep, Wrecking Crew.
I think Carl Wilson played. Otherwise, it was the Wrecking Crew. Glenn Campbell. Sure, people like that.
Sure. Well, I think most of those bands had, in the Monkees, you had Mike and Peter that were you're pretty proficient musicians. Davey and Mike, Mickey, you know, they played, but not as much. And in the Beach Boys, I think, you know, Dennis Wilson played the drums because somebody had to. And but I don't think anybody thought he was that great. And Al Jardine, I guess, you know, nice rhythm guitar player. And but, yeah, Carl Wilson could really play. He was a lead guitarist. Mike Love was, you know, I don't know if Mike Love played any instruments or not. The, you know, great singer for most of their songs.
More to come. Music, Paul McCartney, Beatles, Beach Boys, everything. With Don, Gene, and Tim, you're in
The Pentecost.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Since we will never in the next 25 years run out of things to talk about with Don Jeffries, he will be back for the After the Paracast premium podcast for Paracast Plus subscribers. We were mentioning briefly the Wrecking Crew, like Hal Blaine. If you look at Hal Blaine,
yes,
created that style for the first Tijuana Brass recording. Basically, the Tijuana Brass was the Wrecking Crew, mm-hmm, and Herb Alpert. Of course, Herb Alpert, when he went out on the road, they hired people to go out on the road with him. In terms of the Beach Boys, as you mentioned, Carl Wilson was a really good instrumentalist. Even now, Electric Light Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
You got the one guy, Jeff Lynn,
mm-hmm,
and this fellow Tandy is the keyboard artist. He still does it, but everybody else is different. In fact, on one of the new albums from ELO, Jeff Lynn plays all the instruments, even the strings. I don't know how he does that, but you know, he plays all the instruments. He's like Paul McCartney, plays everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. We're talking, you guys are talking about things in my way, and I combine. That's why John Barber and I are such good friends. I love the entertainment world, and I love the conspiracy world, especially the JFK assassination. So there's a great crossover there, so we can talk about all that stuff. But this is great. You know, I'm just kind of bouncing back and forth amongst all kinds of topics. And I think, you know, I searched and I wanted to find something to add in the book that there was somebody in the industry maybe that you think that maybe some rebel rock and roller or something would have said, yeah, of course Paul's dead. I know he is, but I couldn't find any indication of it. So if he's out there, I don't know where he is, but I thought maybe I'd find somebody that, you know, maybe was in the Yardbirds for a year or something, you know, that said, no, we all knew it in the industry, but I couldn't find anything about it.
Maybe Mick Jagger and Keith Richards know, because even though people perceived the Stones and the Beatles were rivals, and they were to some degree professionally, mm-hmm, personally, they were friends.
Sure. The Stones, they had their first hit, the Lennon-McCartney game, I Want to Be Your Man, and I think they never forgot that.
You know, I heard a story about that where they had the song partly completed, Lennon-McCartney, and they hook up with Keith and Mick. And then, for some reason, they decide to give them the song. They have to finish it. 10 minutes later, they have a finished song. So Keith and Mick say, you know, we should be writing our own songs. And this gave them the impetus. The thing, of course, is they've written some great songs.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, what made Lennon and McCartney unique is that they're the only songwriting pair I know of where, you know, you go back to Rodgers and Hammerstein and all that, where there was generally a lyricist and a composer. That wasn't the case with Lennon and McCartney. A lot of times they did eyeball to eyeball, as John described it, but more often than not, whoever sang the lead wrote most or all the song, was their song, but they had an agreement to put both their names on it. I think in the case of Jagger and Richard, Mick Jagger, I guess, plays a half-ass guitar, but I don't think he's any kind of musician, so I think he's the lyricist, and Richard writes all the music.
That's pretty much what it is, yes. Like the song Gimme Shelter, where Keith developed these incredible guitar licks. In fact, I understand on the actual recording, he did three guitar parts on it. Mm-hmm. The major three guitar parts were Keith Richards, and Jagger wrote the lyrics. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's like Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, and she died very recently, Cynthia mm-hmm. Weil. And she was a lyricist, and Barry Mann wrote the melodies. But then Cynthia Weil wrote with lots of other people, too.
Yeah, and I guess Carole King was somebody that maybe the only one that I guess that did words and music both. But yeah, most of the time, the Brill Building and stuff, they had that. But I wonder why. I think, you know, really Keith Richards is there's a lot, so many jokes about him, you know, we have to make the world safe for Keith Richards when we die, you know, that kind of thing, that he's still alive and going strong, but he's really underrated. You look at all the iconic guitar riffs and melodies that he came up with, and I compare him to, and I love Brian Wilson, I love the Beach Boys, but as far as I know, Mike Love wrote most or all the lyrics to those songs, I think. Now, maybe you know more than I do, but he doesn't get any, and that's why I think to this day, I think he's a little bitter about that, because everybody talks about the genius of Brian Wilson, and it's true. But you compare him to the Rolling Stones, nobody talks about all the genius of Keith Richards. When they talk about the Stones, it's Jagger and Richard, but it's never Love and Wilson. I don't know, maybe you know more about that than I do, but I think of that Mike Love probably feels a little slighted by that.
He didn't write all the lyrics. He had some other lyricists, but you're right. But you look at the credits of the various Beach Boys songs, you'll see Wilson and somebody else. Neil Diamond writes both the songs and lyrics. With Neil Sedaka, it's Neil Sedaka. Howard Greenfield, I think, was his main musician. So Neil plays the melodies and Greenfield writes the lyrics. And of course, Elton John's another example where he can come up with a melody like that, but he needed somebody else to write lyrics for.
Bernie Taupin, sure. Sure, and so, I mean, I'm not trying to slight Brian Wilson at all, but I think that when I've read about Mike Love, he has, and I think he's got a point, because if you're going to credit the other lyricists, then why do you, you know, not credit them? Because I think, you know, especially the early songs where, you know, you listen to something like California Girls, I mean, it's obviously an incredible song, but the lyrics are really catchy, you know, so if Love made those lyrics up, he should get some kind of credit for that. I Get Around, I mean, those are all things that even the Surfing USA, you know, it's kind of a iconic thing. I mean, if it was called something else, it probably, you know, might not be as good. But this is one of my things. I tend to look for that stuff all the time. People tell me, the name of my show, my podcast is I Protest. My Substack is I Protest. I'm always protesting something. So here I'm even protesting on behalf of Mike Love, and who probably couldn't care less, but that's what I'm doing.
Well, the point being here is that some terrific songs were written there, and Brian was the producer and the instrumentalist. And if he didn't write all the lyrics, well, that's not a problem. Okay, here we go. Good Vibrations. Brian Wilson and Mike Love. That's the official credit. There's no joke about it. That is the official credit. So, yeah, Mike Love got credit. I'm looking at the line right now. So, yes, Mike Love did a lot of really good stuff, except that Brian Wilson was such a powerful talent because he was the producer, he was the arranger.
Right.
He did all this stuff and helped create the sound. Mike Love was a lyricist and a singer, did great harmonies, but there is resentment there. I mean, the Beach Boys originally split up after a while when Brian Wilson went off the deep end. They got back together later on, but I read that Mike Love fired Brian Wilson.
Yeah. Well, if you read that book, I read Wilson's book when it came out, probably the 90s, the one where he wrote with Eugene Landy, the guy that kind of controlled him. And, who knows? I just, you know, it's nice that Love gets credit on the labels. I don't think he's hurting financially, but I just think when people in the industry talk about songwriting teams, it's Lennon, McCartney, Jagger, Richard, but it's never Wilson and Love. It's always Brian Wilson. So I just think if I was Mike Love, I'd probably be ticked off about it. But no question, Wilson was a one-of-a-kind talent. I love him to pieces, and he obviously made the Beach Boys. And again, I've gone on to a discussion of the Beach Boys. We're supposed to be talking about the Beatles.
Maybe we'll talk about that after the Paracast a little bit. But right now, let me ask you, Don Jeffries, tell our listeners where they can find more information about what you do.
I'm shadow banned on social media. I'm on Twitter at Don Jeffries. You can follow me there. I noticed I got a lot of followers today for some reason, but typically they'll unfollow you. They'll just, people tell me, I followed you like 8 times, but try me there. Facebook, I have my maximum amount. I don't even bother with it. If I post anything controversial, they just, it doesn't go out anywhere. Substack is the place to go. Last free speech platform, DonaldJeffries.substack.com. It's I protest. That's the only place where my presence is growing there. I have my 8th book was just published about probably the most controversial one now. Yet, I probably don't want to, because I don't want to go into that because it doesn't fit with the rest of it. It's Masking the Truth, How COVID-19 Destroyed Civil Liberties and Shut Down the World. Needless to say, even for me, that's a controversial thing. DonaldJeffries.media is the subset, is the website.
You can find us on Twitter until Musk throws us off. We're on Facebook as a fan club and as a group. You can also get branded merchandise for the Paracast at theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop, or even theparacast.store. 4 different logos to choose from, and we have the Paracast Plus. At theparacast.plus for sign-up instructions, there we give you this show without the network ads, better quality audio, and the exclusive after the Paracast podcast where Don Jeffries will be back. And we'll have more to talk about, all right? To learn more, go to theparacast.plus, special offer, and use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, for a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions, theparacast.plus. Don Jeffries, glad to meet you. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, too. Sounds like we have a lot in common. Fascinating. Love hearing your stories.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.